Blog Talk Radio.
You are not important because of how long you live. You are important because of how effective you live. And most people are so concerned about growing old rather than being effective. The people who have impacted the world
children
didn't live long.
Lie, yeah. Children are alive, yeah, yeah. Children are alive, yeah. Children are alive, yeah, yeah. Children are alive.
John F. Kennedy.
Children are alive. Children are alive. Children are alive, yeah. Children are alive, yeah. Children are alive, yeah. Children are alive, yeah, yeah. Children are alive. Children are alive, yeah, yeah. Children are alive, yeah. Children are alive, yeah. Children are alive, yeah. Spirit looking like ice. Follow law so precise, yeah. My shit, I pay the price. We in here like lies, yeah. They ride our waves like bikes, huh. Devil watches like yikes, huh. We never do what he likes, huh. And I'm watching all the demons, they sticky. Yeah, they always coming at us like 3D. And I'm praying that the Ruah don't leave me. We growing sis just like Dexter and Didi. The devil always tries hardest to beat me. It'll never work like Stevie and Mimi. Y'all don't get it, reality TV. And if you don't, then I understand. Cause on the other hand, yeah, I barely watch TV. Meditating so the angels can reach me. Frequencies like a satellite TV. Discern the spirit so I analyze easy. Wickedness in the spiritual realm. They can try me, but it ain't gonna be easy. If it's beef, then I end them all easy. It's going down just like fringes of Z's. Children of the lie, yeah. Children of the lie, yeah, yeah. Children of the lie, yeah. Children of the lie, yeah, yeah. Children of the lie. Children of the lie, yeah, yeah. Children of the lie. Children of the lie. Children of the lie, yeah.
The kingdom of heaven. And therefore, when you have a purpose for your life, it disciplines your behavior.
Children of the lie.
And chooses your habits. Purpose gives life meaning.
This is what the Pharisees try to stop. This is what got John the Baptist blocked. This is what got Paul neck chopped. This is what introduced the Ruah. This is why Moses wrote every jot. This is my guaranteed heaven spot. This is the gospel of a Mashiach. Guaranteed none of this getting stopped. Sit still, clear your mind, praise Yah, meditate. See myself small like FaceTime. Seek his face and his peace, renovate.
Tapped in.
Elevate for heaven's sake, no pun intended. Recommended, delegated like a senate. Out of box, out box like I sent it.
I feel the spirit.
Y'all bless me with the wisdom, so I spill it like a beverage. Meditate in the field, son of edges. Read his words like he texted. Uh-huh. Not a Bible, but a weapon. We the army, why you stressing? Triple numbers manifesting. They don't know better. Adolescent, that's a lesson.
Huh. Not finna play with y'all, bruh. The Mashiach specifically said, if thine eye be single, it shall be full of light. What do you think he was talking about? He said single, eye, that is singular, not plural. But the world take it and say it is the third eye, so we see it as wickedness. No, that's the gateway to the kingdom of heaven, bro. Focus on nothing, praise the Most High until you feel his energy. Shalom.
Here's another statement I thought was interesting in the book of Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and to every purpose there's a time under heaven. In other words, if you are in heaven, it's eternal, there's no time. But when you come below heaven, you now have a purpose that has been fulfilled in time. That means you were born to do something, but you ain't got forever to do it.
All right, all right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Micah Israel, and man, I'm excited to be having the show. We're doing another late night edition, all right? Every now and again, we do a little late night edition. Hopefully, the truckers that out there can tune on in. I'm a truck driver by trade, and typically our shows are Sunday, Monday, and Thursdays at 5 p.m. All right, 5 p.m. Central Time is when you can catch us live. All right, and so. So every now and again, situations happen to me being a truck driver, and I won't be able to do the show on time. As you can see right now, I'm all parked and settled in, and I'm able to recline and read a book or two. So this is the best time to work it out. So every now and again, these type of situations happen, but I try to be on time and have the show on time and to set in the set day that it was scheduled. But, I mean, these things happen. I'm hoping that my listener can bear with me. All right. All right. So, with that being said, let's get back into Jasher. If you've been following us in reading our books, you know that we're getting closer to the end of Jasher. And so it's already just a roller coaster of feeling. And I'm excited to read as many chapters as I can right now. All right, Sister Thale, I'm going to go ahead and open up your line, and you can say hi. And you're live on the air, Sister Thale.
Okay. All right. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom,
glad to
shalom.
Be here. Yeah. So we are getting into Jasher again, and I'm excited about that. And, you know, so did you have a few words or whatever you wanted to say before we get into what chapter was it?
All right. Well,
so much has happened, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
I'm going to look for my notes right now. Okay, well, I'll be able to.
Okay, in chapter 76, Moses, the son of Amram, was still king in the land of Cush in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So he is leaving Cush in 76, and he made it to Midian. And when he made it to Midian, he told his story to the people down there, where he's going to meet his future wife, her father, and they locked him up in prison for 10 years. Right? Just in case, you know, he was a fugitive or something. They didn't know for sure. If he, you know, he could have been tricking them and telling a lie. So for 10 years, they had him locked up. And so that goes to show that the Midian people, also with the Cushite Ethiopians, they was brethren and they had good relationship with each other. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Moses did not want to take a wife from the Ethiopian people, but he later on took a wife from the Midian people. Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. All right. So I think 77 is where we at, Sister.
All right. Let's go to 77.
All right, but before we do, I want to do a little reflect on what transpired. Was that Sunday, our Sunday show?
All right.
All right. We merged in with Five Smooth Stones, and like always, y'all, we try to make it edifying, and I like how we come from a humble perspective. And we try to throw some nuggets in there, some knowledge get thrown around too. But our listeners, we definitely try to craft it in a way that everybody can follow and catch up, right? It would help if you have a little understanding of, you know, the Bible verses and the covenants that we speak about, you know. But we try to keep it simple. So anyway, we went on the show and, well, it got kind of riled up, you know, between me and, Brother Seth Turner of the Five Smooth Stones. We got kind of riled up. We're very passionate guys when it comes to what we believe in. And, at the end of the day, I know that he's a good guy, you know what I'm saying? He's trying. He don't see the scriptures like me, you know. But we're not like a gang or nothing like that. But feelings can get involved and we can get upset at each other. But it is what it is, right? But I think that was going to be the finale because I don't want us to do more harm than good. y'all didn't tune into the show to see brothers fight over Christ, right? Fight over our God, fight over the apostles, right? So to me, that's silly right there. But I got to admit, y'all, even with the, you know, when we're digging down with the different opinions as they dig down deep in the scriptures, they will disagree, bump heads. These type of things happen, but I don't know. It's just, you know, sometimes you do more harm than good when it gets out of hand or whatever. So, or if nobody can learn not one thing or and openly admit it, you know, if one person's showing, painting a picture that's blatantly obvious and you refuse to see it, that's something wrong with you. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, because I started off very elementary kid can understand. You know what I'm saying? I started off very much like that. I thought I explained it pretty good. But however, if it wasn't all that good, then it wasn't all that good. My presentation and my point of view of things. So. But it is what it is. But yeah, that's going to be the finale. We're going to figure out what to do for our Sundays going forward. I tell you, the blessing in it all is that I was able to bump into some more brothers. And when you look at the journey of Waking Up Israel, how we go from these different brothers kind of, you know, orbiting around us, you know what I'm saying, with Brother Leonard and the non-Messianic, and then you got Brother Self, the complete opposite of that, you know, and then you got these brothers here that I met not too long ago. I'm going to introduce y'all to them shortly on another show, but you can kind of see that they all got these different understandings and, you know, about them. So, yeah. So I just want to say we just kind of bouncing around these different Israelites that's in our communities. My sister, I can hear the pages or something.
Yes, you are.
I don't know.
Yes, you
that.
Do. Okay, I will mute myself while you're talking.
No, I'm wrapping up right now. And I just want to say that, yeah. So I expect Sundays that we can, you know, meet some more people and kind of just drift, man. Drift and tackle some more subjects and things like that. All right, go ahead, sister.
Oh, did I say I was going to say something? I was just looking for my notes. Because I just wanted to say a few things regarding Sunday. I did have to, and in fact, I thought we was kind of rotating in and out, that I did sign out and sign back in and that type of thing. However, I just wanted to just say thank you to everyone and for everything they've said and the input. And again, I have to say that one of the things that conversation needed was to look into was time, and I think I'll discuss that with you later afterwards. But we have to consider timing. When you're going through, everyone was saying everything, but in my spirit, I thought, yeah, but check out the timing of everything. And the time is the answer to the questions that everybody was asking, and everyone was trying to put things in a chronological order of when this is happening, when this is happening, and what have you. But I just wanted everyone to think about it and think about time. You know, the Most High's time, Messiah's time, versus man's time. That's the hint. to do your research. And think about that as you're studying and you're researching. There's a time for everything. Yes, there's a time for beginning and a time of ending. And then you have to think about what's happening in the midst of that beginning and the ending. And I think that you will come up with some conclusions that proves that we are all is on the right path. We just have to continue to grow, study, learn, and humble ourselves to receive the answers from the Holy Spirit. And mind you, be totally aware that our sisters and brothers are all striving to reach the same thing. We're all trying to get there passionately. And the Most High looks at that. Okay, so that's the most important thing, that you know in your heart and your spirit that then you're okay. And you're doing what, you know, you're doing what you, the best that you can do. That's what he wants us to do. He sends us all out every day. And we are ministers to everyone. Remember, you never know who you're looking at or who you're talking to. So be careful and be aware. And that's my note to our listeners tonight. It's just be aware. I mean, you may see someone and it may not be who that really is. It could be the Messiah. Careful, it could be an angel. Be careful. All right, that's all I want to say, brother. And we can get into Joshua now, because I just wanted everyone to say how much I appreciate and love all the input and everything, because it helps me grow. Okay, brother.
All right. Well, so we're going to get started in Joshua chapter 77. I just want to let you know, Stel, that it's only 91 chapters in the book of Joshua.
Oh.
We are
only
getting
91,
closer to the end. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to do like 3 chapters today, tonight?
I'm going to try to make it to 80. Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go.
All right, just... All right, okay, all right. So chapter 77, verse 1. Adikam was 20 years old when he reigned over Egypt. He reigned 4 years. In the 206th year of Israel's going down to Egypt, did Adikam reign over Egypt. But he continued not so long in his reign over Egypt as his fathers had continued their reigns. For Melol, his father, reigned 94 years in Egypt, but he was 10 years sick and died, for he had been wicked before the Lord. And all the Egyptians called the name of Adikam Pharaoh, like the name of his fathers, as was their custom to do in Egypt. And all the wise men of Pharaoh called the name Adikam Ahuz, for short. It's called Ahuz, the Egyptian language. Okay, Adikam Ahuz, for short. Father Ahuz. Verse 6. And Adikam was exceedingly ugly, and he was a cubit and a span, and he had a great beard which reached to the soles of his feet. And Pharaoh sat upon his father's throne to reign over Egypt, and he conducted the government of Egypt in his wisdom. And while he reigned, he exceeded his father and all the preceding kings in wickedness, and increased his yoke over the children of Israel. And he went with his servants to Goshen to the children of Israel, and he strengthened the labor over them. And he said unto them, complete your work, each day's task, and let not your hands slacken from our work from this day forward, as you did in the days of my father. And he placed officers over them from amongst the children of Israel, and other and over these officers he placed taskmasters from amongst his servants. And he placed over them a measure of bricks for them to do according to that number, day by day. And he turned back and went to Egypt. At that time, the taskmasters of Pharaoh ordered the officers of the children of Israel, according to the command of Pharaoh, saying, "Thus says Pharaoh, do your work each day and finish your task and observe the daily measure of bricks. Diminish not anything. And it shall come to pass that if you are deficient in your daily bricks, I will put your young children in their stead." And the taskmasters of Egypt did so in those days as Pharaoh had ordered them. And whenever any deficiency was found in the children of Israel's measure of their daily bricks, the taskmasters of Pharaoh would go to the wives of the children of Israel and take infants and of the children of Israel to the number of the bricks deficient. They would take them by force from their mother's lap and put them in the building instead of the bricks. What the? Is they talking about killing the kids?
Yes.
What am I reading here?
Yeah, that's what they said. They put them in place of the bricks. But I don't understand how that would have made the wall. But go ahead.
Okay, 17. While their fathers and mothers were crying over them and weeping when they heard the weeping voices of their infants in the wall of the building, and the taskmasters prevailed over Israel that the Israelites should place their children in the building, so that a man placed his son in the wall and put mortar over him while his eyes wept over him and his tears ran down upon his child. And the taskmasters of Egypt did so to the babes of Israel for many days, and no one pitied or had compassion over the babes of the children of Israel. And the number of all the children killed, the building was 270. Oh, and the number of all the children killed in the building was 270, some whom had built upon instead of the brick, which had been left deficient by the fathers, and some whom they had drawn out dead from the building. And the labor imposed upon the children of Israel in the days of Adonijah exceeded in hardship that which they performed in the days of his father. And the children of Israel sighed every day on account of their heavy work, for they had said to themselves, "Behold, when Pharaoh shall die, this son will rise up and lighten our work." But they increased the latter work more than the former, and the children of Israel sighed at this, and their cry ascended to God on account of their labor. And God heard the voice of the children of Israel and their cry in those days. And God remembered to them his covenant, which he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the burden of the children of Israel and their hard work in those days, and he determined to deliver them. And Moses, the son of Aram, in the dungeon in those days, in the house of Reuel the Midianite. All right, I said it right. Midian? Yeah, he said Midian. The Midianite. And Zipporah, the daughter of Reuel, did support him with food secretly day by day. Just like Joseph's situation seemed like. And Moses was confined in the dungeon in the house of Reuel for 10 years. And at the end of 10 years, which was the first year of the reign of Pharaoh over Egypt in the place of his father, Zipporah said to her father Reuel, "No person inquires or seeks after the Hebrew man, whom thou didst bind in prison now 10 years. Now, therefore, if it seem good in thy sight, let us send and see whether he is living or dead." But her father knew not that she had supported him. And Raul, her father, answered and said to her, "Has ever such a thing happened that a man should be shut up in a prison without food for 10 years and that he should live?" And Zipporah answered her father, saying, "Surely thou hast heard that the God of the Hebrews is great and awful and does wonders for them at all times. He it was who delivered Abraham from Ur of the Chaldeans and Isaac from the sword of his father and Jacob." Okay, and Jacob from the angel of the Lord who wrestled with him at the ford of Jabbok. Also with this man has he done many things. He delivered him from the river in Egypt and from the sword of Pharaoh and from the children of Cush. So also can he deliver him from famine and make him live. And the thing seemed good in the sight of Reuel, and he did according to the word of his daughter and sent to the dungeon to a certain who became of Moses. Okay, well,
yes, that's a dream.
Okay.
36?
Let me read it again. And the thing seemed good in the sight of Reuel, and he did according to the word of his daughter, and sent to the dungeon to ascertain what became of Moses. And he saw, and behold, the man Moses was living in the dungeon, standing upon his feet, praising and praying to the God of his ancestors. And Reuel commanded Moses to be brought out of the dungeon. So they shaved him, and he changed his prison garments and ate bread. And afterward, Moses went into the garden of Reuel, which was behind the house, and he there prayed to the Lord his God, who had done mighty wonders for him. And it was that while he prayed, he looked opposite to him, and behold, a sapphire stick was placed in the ground, which was planted in the midst of the garden. And he approached the stick, and he looked, and behold, the name of the Lord, God of hosts, was engraved thereon, written and developed upon the stick. And he read it and stretched forth his hand, and he plucked it like a forest tree from the thicket, and the stick was in his hand. And this is the stick with which all the works of our God were performed after he had created heaven and earth and all the host of them, seas, rivers, and all their fishes. And when God had driven Adam from the Garden of Eden, he took the stick in his hand and went and tilled the ground from which he was taken. And the stick came down to Noah, and was given to Shem and his descendants until it came into the hand of Abraham the Hebrew. And when Abraham had given all he had to his son Isaac, he also gave him this stick. And when Jacob had fled to Padan Aram, he took it into his hand. And when he returned to his father, he had not left it behind him. Also, when he went down to Egypt, he took it into his hands and gave it to Joseph, one portion above his brethren. For Jacob had taken it by force from his brother Esau. And after the death of Joseph, the nobles of Egypt came into the house of Joseph, and the stick came into the hand of Reuel, the Midianite.
Hold up.
And after the death of Joseph, the nobles of Egypt came into the house of Joseph, and the stick came into the hand of Reuel the Midianite. And when he went out of Egypt, he took it in his hand and planted it in his garden.
Yeah, so Reuel was in Egypt for a while. I guess that's why she knew so much.
Right. Apparently he's in, yeah. And so, yeah, he's very old too. Because he was there to witness Joseph dying, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so Moses, that's grandchildren era, you know what I'm saying?
Well, so, it should have went to Joseph's family, but the nobles went into his house and they was taking stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And apparently,
and they probably gave
somehow
it to
Right, it wound up in his hands. Yeah.
To the Midianite.
Mm-hmm. 49.
I think that's
and
the,
all the
most
mighty...
I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, go ahead. Most I knew what?
That Reuel, that Moses was on his way to feed Reuel eventually.
Oh, yeah,
he knew
ahead. You know,
already knew that.
Is...
Mm.
Oh, yeah, he can see the future. Yes, he can.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can see the future and already have it, everything planned out. Yes.
Yeah.
And even our time now, he knows how it's going to end. You know, it's already predestined to end a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
He do give us free will and choices. So, how you see the future, we could be, you know, in the good with them. But we could make some bad choices, I imagine, that can, you know, saying, take us from that, you know, his plans, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
I
think
mean,
that's what really makes them mad. You know what I mean? Because
we just don't want
to
repeat what our ancestors did. Yeah.
Right, right. Right on, right on. All right, 49. And all the mighty men of the Kenites tried to pluck it when they endeavored to get Zipporah, his daughter, but they were unsuccessful. So that stick remained planted in the Garden of Reuel until he came who had a right to it and took it. And when Reuel saw the stick in the hand of Moses, he wondered at it, and he gave him his daughter Zipporah for a wife. So it's like a Excalibur.
Yeah, Excalibur, yeah. Yeah, the sword in
yeah,
the stone.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's what it seemed, as though several people have came, and that was one thing they couldn't do is pull up that stick. They had the Most High's
right.
name on it. Joseph had carved or whatever on the stick.
Because,
you know, apparently it was one of those that went down through the generations from one hand to the other. Esau had it.
Right.
And, well, Jacob took it from him by force when they got into it.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how Esau got it. Yeah.
Isaac. I'm thinking Isaac.
Mm-hmm. Isaac, yeah. Okay, 78.
All right. Verse 1. At that time died Balal Tadan, son of Achbor, king of Edom, and was buried in the house of the land of Edom. And after his death, the children of Esau sent to the land of Edom, and took from there a man who was in Edom, whose name was Hadad. And they made him king over them, in the place of Baal, Tanan, their king. And Hadad reigned over the children of Edom 48 years. And when he reigned, he resolved to fight against the children of Moab, to bring them up. Oh, Sister Dale. Sister Dale.
What?
Hello?
Yes, what?
We have
can
already
you hear me?
Read.
Yes,
okay,
can
you hear
on.
Me now?
Yes, I hear you. Keep on
we
going. I thought
already...
I thought we did. I thought we did, but go ahead, brother. I said that earlier when you were reading the last chapter.
I didn't
hear
you.
Even read this. I know. Go right ahead, brother. Continue.
Okay, we're going to read it again. Okay, we have already read this. Ah, dog it. My bad.
Well, that's not a problem. It's not a problem. It's a recap. I had my notes. I was looking for it, but, you know, I was rustling papers, and you told me to stop, so I just stopped. I was looking for my note because I put on the start reading. But I don't. We'll get better at this, brother. You know, we're just humans, right? We're just human beings.
I know I'm not remembering. It just escapes me every time, and I apologize to the listeners.
Okay,
I apologize. All right.
Well, you can do a recap real quickly of this.
What now?
A recap of 78.
No, we're just gonna go ahead and read it, Sister. All right, verse 2. And after the death of the children of Esau, sent to the land of Edom, and took from there a man who was in Edom, whose name was Hadad, and they made him king over them in the place of Baal, Hadad the king. And Hadad reigned over the children of Edom for 80 years. And when he reigned, he resolved to fight against the children of Moab, to bring them under the power of the children of Esau, as they were before. But he was not able, because the children of Moab heard this thing, and they rose up and hastened to elect the king over them from amongst their brethren. And they afterward gathered together a great people and sent to the children of Ammon, their brethren, for help to fight against Hadad, king of Edom. And Hadad heard the thing which the children of Moab had done, and was greatly afraid of them, and refrained from fighting against them. In those days, Moses, the son of Aram, in Midian, took Zipporah, the daughter of Reuel, the Midianite, for a wife. And Zipporah walked in the ways of the daughters of Jacob. She was nothing short of righteousness of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. And Zipporah conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I was a stranger in a foreign land, but he circumcised not his foreskin at the command of Reuel, his father-in-law. And she conceived again and bare a son, but circumcised his foreskin and called his name Eleazar. For Moses said, because the God of my fathers was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, greatly increased the labor of the children of Israel in those days, and continued to make his yoke heavier upon the children of Israel. And he ordered a proclamation to be made in Egypt, saying, give no more straw to the people to make bricks with. Let them go and gather themselves straw, as they can find it. Also, the tale of bricks which they shall make, let them give each day, and diminish nothing from them, for they are idle in their work. And the children of Israel heard this, and they mourned inside, and they cried unto the Lord on account of the bitterness of their souls. And the Lord heard the cries of the children of Israel, and saw the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. And the Lord was jealous of his people and his inheritance, and heard their voice, and he resolved to take them out of the affliction of Egypt, to give them the land of Canaan for a possession. All right, here comes 79. And in those days, Moses was feeding the flock Reuel the Midianite. Yeah, 79 is where we poked the start at. And in those days, Moses was feeding the flock of Reuel. Hold up. Sister Thel. Hello? Sister Thel.
Yes, I'm here. I kind of mute myself at times just so I can read along with you and you don't hear me shuffling around. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, okay. I want to say 79 is what we're supposed to start at, but I don't remember reading about Moses' sons.
No, I didn't remember that either. Yeah, I didn't remember the names, and I didn't remember that. So we're on point, no matter what.
Yeah, maybe 78 was where you could start.
Was where we had started, should have started.
Okay.
But you notice that.
All right.
Okay, but you notice that even with Moses' two sons, his father-in-law commanded that he do not circumcise his first son. And so
yeah,
now you have one son that's circumcised and one that is not.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just want to point that out.
Gotcha. All right. Okay, where am I at? Start at verse 1. Just start over. All right, verse 1. And in those days, Moses was feeding the flock of Reuel, the Midianite, his father-in-law, beyond the wilderness then, and the stick which he took from his father-in-law was in his hand. And it came to pass one day that a kid of goats strayed from the flock, and Moses pursued it, and it came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. The mountain of Horeb. Okay, this right here says it's the mountain of God, to Horeb. And, that's interesting. Horeb, I'm going to remember that. And when he came to Horeb, the Lord appeared there unto him in the bush. And he found the bush burning with fire. But the fire had no power over the bush to consume it. And Moses was greatly astonished at this sight. Wherefore the bush was not consumed. And he approached to see this mighty thing. And the Lord called unto Moses out of the fire and commanded him to go down to Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to send the children of Israel from his service. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, return to Egypt, for all those men who sought thy life are dead, and thou shalt speak unto Pharaoh to send forth the children of Israel from his land. And the Lord showed him to do signs and wonders in Egypt before the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his subjects, in order that they might believe that the Lord had sent him. And Moses hearkened to all the Lord had commanded him. And he returned to his father-in-law and told him the thing. And Reuel said to him, go in peace. And Moses rose up to go to Egypt, and he took his wife and sons with him. And he was at an inn in the road. And the angel of God came down and sought an occasion against him. And he wished to kill him on account of his firstborn son, because he had not circumcised him and had transgressed the covenant which the Lord had made with Abraham. For Moses had hearkened to the words of his father-in-law, which had spoken to him, not to circumcise his firstborn son. Therefore, he circumcised him not. And Zipporah saw the angel of the Lord seeking an occasion against Moses. And she knew that this thing was owing to his not having circumcised her son, Gershom. And Zipporah hastened and took of the sharp rock stones that were there. And she circumcised her son and delivered her husband and her son from the hand of the angel of the Lord. And Aaron, the son of Aram, the brother of Moses, was in Egypt, walking at the riverside on that day. And the Lord appeared to him in that place and said unto him, go now toward Moses in the wilderness. And he went and met him in the mountain of God, and he kissed him. And Aaron lifted up his eyes and saw Zipporah, the wife of Moses, and her children. And he said unto Moses, Who are these unto thee? And Moses said unto him, they are my wife and sons, which God gave me in Midian. And the thing grieved Aaron on account of the woman and her children. And Aaron said to Moses, send away the woman and her children, that they may go to her father's house. And Moses hearkened to the words of Aaron and did so. And Zipporah returned with her children, and they went to the house of Reuel and remained there until the time arrived when the Lord had visited his people and brought them forth from Egypt from the hands of Pharaoh. And Moses and Aaron came to Egypt to the community of the children of Israel, and they spoke to them all the words of the Lord, and the people rejoiced in an exceedingly great rejoicing. And Moses and Aaron rose up early on the next day, and they went to the house of Pharaoh, and they took in their hands the stick of God. And when they came to the king's gate, two young lions were confined there with iron instruments, and no person went out or came in from before them, unless those whom the king ordered to come. When the conjurers came and withdrew the lions by the incantations, and this brought them to the king. Oh, they can put lions under spell?
Yeah. That's what they did.
Okay, we're talking about some powerful wizardry right here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They conjurers. Conjurers,
yeah.
When the conjurers came, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. 22. And Moses hasted and lifted up the stick upon the lions, and he loosed them. And Moses and Aaron came into the king's house. And the lions also came with them in joy, and they followed them and rejoiced as a dog rejoices over his master when he comes from the field. And when Pharaoh saw this thing, he was astonished at it, and he was greatly terrified at the report, for their appearance was like the appearance of the children of God. And Pharaoh said to Moses, what do you require? And they answered him, saying, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent us to thee, to say, send forth my people, that they may serve me. And when Pharaoh heard their words, he was greatly terrified before them. And he said to them, go today and come back to me tomorrow. And they did according to the word of the king. And when they had gone, Pharaoh sent for Balaam, the magician, and to James and Jambres, his son, and to all the magicians and conjurers and counselors which belonged to the king. And they all came and sat before the king. And the king told them all the words which Moses and his brother Aaron had spoken to him. And the magician said to the king, but how came the men to thee on account of the lions which were confined at the gate? And the king said, because they lifted up their rod against the lions and loosed them and came to me. And the lions also rejoiced at them, as a dog rejoices to meet his master. And Balaam, the son of Beor, the magician, answered the king, saying, these are none else than magicians like ourselves. Now, therefore, send for them, and let them come, and we will try them. And the king did so. And in the morning, Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron to come before the king. And they took the rod of God and came to the king and spoke to him, saying, thus said the Lord God of the Hebrews, send my people that they may serve me. And the king said to them, but who will believe you that you are the messenger of God and that you come to me by his order? And therefore give a wonder, a sign in this matter. And then the words which you speak will be believed. and Aaron hastened and threw the rod out of his hand before Pharaoh and before his servants, and the rod turned into a serpent. And the sorcerers saw this, and they cast each man his rod upon the ground, and they became serpents. And the serpent of Aaron's rod lifted up its head and opened its mouth to swallow the rods of the magician. And Balaam the magician answered and said, "This thing has been from the days of old, that a serpent should swallow its fellow, and that living things devour each other. Now therefore restore it to a rod as it was at first, and we will also restore our rods as they were at first. And if thy rod shall swallow our rods, then shall we know that the Spirit of God is in thee. And if not, thou art only an artificer like unto ourselves." And Aaron hastened and stretched forth his hand and caught hold of the serpent's tail, and it became a rod in his hand. And the sorcerers did the like with their rods, and they got hold each man of the tail of his serpent, and they became rods as at first. And when they were restored to rods, the rod of Aaron swallowed up their rods.
Again?
Okay, that's...
Was that for the second time?
Maybe. I'm not sure what's happening. 43. And when the king saw this thing, he ordered the book of records that related to the kings of Egypt to be brought, and they brought the book of records and the chronicles of the kings of Egypt, in which all the idols of Egypt were inscribed. For they thought of finding therein the name of Jehovah, but they found it not. And Pharaoh said to Moses and Aaron, "Behold, I have not found the name of your God written in the book, and his name I know not." And the counselors and wise men answered the king, "We have heard that the God of the Hebrews is a son of the wise, the son of the ancient king." And Pharaoh turned to Moses and Aaron and said to them, "I know not the Lord whom ye have declared, neither will I send his people." And they answered and said to the king, "The Lord God of gods is his name, and he proclaimed his name over us from the days of our ancestors, and sent us, saying, go to Pharaoh and say unto him, send my people that they may serve me. Now therefore send us that we may take a journey for 3 days in the wilderness, and there may sacrifice to him from the days of our going down to Egypt. He has not taken from our hands either." Hold on, let me read this. Let me sit up. "For send us that we may take a journey for 3 days in the wilderness, and there may sacrifice to him, for from the days of our going down to Egypt, he has not taken from our hands either burnt offering, oblation, or sacrifice. And if thou wilt not send us, his anger will be kindled against thee, and he will smite Egypt, either with the plague or with the sword." And Pharaoh said to them, Tell me now his power and his might." And they said to him, "He created the heaven and earth, the seas and all the fishes. He formed the light, created the darkness, caused rain upon the earth and watered it, and made the herbage and grass to sprout. He created man and beast and animals of the forest, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and by his mouth they live and die. Surely he created thee in thy mother's womb and put into thee the breath of life. He reared thee and placed thee upon the royal throne of Egypt, and he will take thy breath and sold from thee, and return thee to the ground whence thou was taken. And the anger of the king was kindled at their words, and he said to them, but who amongst all the gods of nations can do this? My river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. And he drove them from him, and he ordered the labor upon Israel to be more severe than it was yesterday and before. And Moses and Aaron went out from the king's presence, and they saw the children of Israel in an evil condition, for the taskmasters had made their labor exceedingly heavy. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, why hast thou ill-treated thy people? For since I came to speak to Pharaoh, what thou didst send me for, he has exceedingly ill-used the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, thou wilt see that with an outstretched hand and heavy plague, Pharaoh will send the children of Israel from this land. And Moses and Aaron dwelt amongst their brethren and children of Israel in Egypt. And as for the children of Israel, the Egyptians embittered their lives with the heavy work which they imposed upon them. That's the end of 79, Sister Dale.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I need to drink some. My throat is jacked up.
Okay. All right. Sister Dale,
do you want to stop right there, Sister Dale, for the night?
Yes, we can. We can. But this was so really interesting, wasn't it?
All right.
I mean, I know we heard this before, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can start at 80.
Okay, we'll start at 80, okay?
Yeah, that'll be great, brother.
All right,
and,
all right.
All praises to the Most High, because this has been a great evening, and it's been a blessed day. And, you know, we know that he is great. And all praises to him and his beloved son and our Savior, the Messiah, and to all of our listeners. I just want to wish a blessed week and seek for knowledge and wisdom. That's basically the word of the week, is to seek for knowledge and wisdom. And so I'll just go ahead and say shalom to you, brother, and to everyone. And I'll let you have the closing remarks and statements. And you're going to take us out with
all
a song?
Right.
Huh?
Yes, ma'am. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay, all then. Right. Shalom, shalom.
All right. Shalom. All right, y'all. So that's that. We was able to read a few chapters, kind of play catch up. If we had already read, you know, a couple chapters or whatever. We have to probably read it again, y'all, because we didn't keep up. My bad. But I can remember 80 pretty good. So we'll be picking up, if not Sunday, we'll pick up Monday. All right? We're no longer merging with Five Smooth Stones on Sundays. That has came to an end, y'all. Yeah, that came to an end. We had a good run with it, though. it was Five Smooth Stones that I was calling in and listening to Brother Seth Turner. He kind of inspired me to get to having my own show. And so I always will give him that credit, no doubt about that. But I really kind of wanted those brothers to kind of see it my way at the end of the day, or at least understand me. I think they tried the best of their ability, but it was just a line that they wouldn't cross. And it's all good. It is all good. I know the Most High and our Savior, it's a plan for everybody, right? All right. So anyway, with that being said, y'all, I'm going to go ahead and play us a song. How about Amos 3? Should I play Amos 3? You know what, Sister? I ought to play a throwback song. That's what we are. Everyday people. What you think? I want to hear. I'm gonna open up your line right quick. What do you think about that, Sistel? You got yourself on mute. Okay, you probably walked away from the phone. Let me close the line. Okay. Anyway, I thought I'd play this one. Why not, man? Because I tell you what, that was a man. We were battling on the wake. Five Smooth Stones, man. Yes, we were. I know I was getting hot. Cause, I mean, I just wanted to be heard, y'all. I just wanted to be heard. But it's all good, man. We are learning. Every time we engage like that, somebody learned something. Somebody somewhere learned something. All right? And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. All right, shalom, shalom. Until next time, y'all. Peace out.
For being rude. And like I said before, I was mad by it. It took three or four.